First Kings, in chapter 21. And for our text this evening, we want to consider the words of verse 19. Verse 19 is the word that the Lord gave to Elijah. And thou shalt speak unto him that is unto Ahab, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Be sure your sins will find you out. Those words could easily have been written above the entrance to Naboth's vineyard, as Ahab went there to possess it. He had coveted that vineyard, and covetousness is a sin. So Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. He was prepared to take that which did not belong to him. And stealing is a sin. Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. He was prepared to transgress the law of God, because according to the law of God, Naboth was not permitted to sell or trade his vineyard. But that didn't matter to Ahab. And in possessing the vineyard of Naboth, he transgressed the law of a holy God. Transgression of God's law is sin. Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. He was prepared to let Naboth, the vineyard's owner, be put to death, that he could make that vineyard his own. That's a sin. Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. And so as Naboth lay a lifeless form in the gates of Jezreel, stoned to death for a crime he did not commit, we read in verse 16, Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And when he took possession of the vineyard, as he entered the vineyard, he sealed his hopeless doom. Because the word of the Lord came unto Ahab through the, or by the lips of Elijah. Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. The well-known preacher, Dr. Robert G. Lee, preached a famous sermon on this text, and he called it Payday Someday. A sermon that Dr. Lee preached over 1,000 times. And indeed that was a good title for the sermon, because for Ahab it was payday someday. And that day would come when his sin would find him out. He would pay someday by his death. And he would go on paying throughout the countless ages of eternity, but he would never be able to clear his debt. Do you know something? Ahab is still paying for that sin and many other sins that he committed in his lifetime. He committed a terrible crime for which he never sought pardon or found forgiveness. He went out into eternity with the blood of an innocent man upon his hands. And it was Elijah's task to speak to him about his sin, his crime, just as it is the task of every gospel preacher, every faithful servant of the Lord, to speak to men and women about their sin and to tell them, to warn them, that for them it will be payday someday. For them, their sin someday will find them out. Looking at this crime committed by Ahab, relating to the death of Naboth, the owner of the vineyard that Ahab had coveted, first thing that we want to notice is the character of his crime. Elijah the prophet did not hold back when he delivered this message from God to Ahab. Now that's what we need today. Preachers who will not hold back in denouncing sin. Who will not hold back in warning about the consequences of sin. Elijah did not hold back at all. We've read there in verse 19. And then in verse 20, and Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" The man who preaches against sin will always be seen and regarded as an enemy by those who love their sin. "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Here's a man who was sold out to sin. Here's the character of his crime. You notice it was a heinous crime. It was a heinous crime. Being part of the putting to death and the slaying of this dear man Naboth, a godly man, a God-fearing man, a man who would not sell to the king of Israel his vineyard or trade it for another vineyard because it was against the law of God. It had been handed down to him from the Lord and through his forefathers. And he was prepared to stand up against the king and say no to the king. "Thou shalt not have my vineyard." The putting to death of Naboth was a heinous crime. All sin can be described as heinous, but this was particularly so because it involved the slaying of an innocent man. As was said, whenever Naboth refused to sell his vineyard or exchange it for another, a plot was hatched to put Naboth to death, to have him killed, so that Ahab could then take possession of the vineyard that he coveted. And that plot was hatched by the wicked wife of Ahab, namely Jezebel, which resulted in the slaying of a good man. There's no telling how low the depraved nature of man will take an individual. How low have men in this day in which we live gone? Into what depths have they sunk? What crimes have they committed? I was just reading the other day of a couple over in England who had a child. She was 8 years of age, and she had learning disabilities. That's all was wrong. But they locked her up in her room. And they locked her up there from 7 at night till 7 the next day. And they did that for months. And the poor child was living in squalor. There was no bathroom in that room. So you can imagine what it was like. And the poor child had learned how to tie knots at school a few days before. And she was playing with the cord on the blinds. And she tied a knot and put it around her neck. And she accidentally hanged herself. Her parents had neglected her. Can you imagine any parents doing that? Leaving their child in such squalor, caring nothing about her? That is the example of the depraved nature of man. And how far down into mire man will sink. And here is Ahab. And we see what he did and had his hand in the slaying of this innocent man Naboth. Such is the depraved nature of man. Don't let anybody tell you there's a divine spark in the soul of man. There's no spark there at all. Don't let anybody tell you that there's some little good in every man. The Bible tells us otherwise. The Bible tells us that man has wicked thoughts and a wicked heart and wicked actions and commits wicked deeds. He's totally depraved. Totally depraved. And here's an example of it. But as far as Ahab was concerned, what he had done, the crime he had committed, the sin he had committed, the wickedness, and the evil he had committed, he had flown in the face of a holy God. And one day, his sin would find him out. One day, his sin would be brought to light. And what a price he would have to pay for ignoring God and his laws. We're told Ahab sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. He sold his soul. What for? For a vineyard. For something temporal. Like Esau. Esau sold his soul for what? For a mess of pottage. Like Judas. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And Ahab sold his soul for a vineyard. And for Esau, and for Ahab, and for Judas. They'll be able to communicate regarding the deal that they made, because they are together now in the same place. They're in outer darkness, in a lost sinner's hell. Payday someday, their sin found them out. It was a heinous crime. We go further and say it was a heartless crime. See how quickly Ahab responded to the news of Naboth's death. This shows us just how heartless this man really was. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that he rose up and mourned his passing? No. Instead, he rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. He wasted no time in taking possession of the vineyard that he had coveted. How heartless is this? Not only bringing about or having his part in the death of a good man, but taking possession of his vineyard with such haste. No respect at all. You would have thought at least he would have waited a few days. At least until they had buried and removed from the gates of Jezreel the body of Naboth. What a heartless man this was. The man had no heart. It's as if his conscience had been seared by a hot iron. And I tell you tonight, there's not much hope. There's not much hope for the man who has no heart, or whose heart is as hard as adamant stone, for the man who has sold himself to work wickedness. I've told you before about the man whom I ministered to in the Mays prison in H Block 7. He'd been arrested and convicted of committing 13 murders. You think of what it takes to do that. To take a knife and slit the throats of 13 victims, one after the other, over a period of time. You would say that man is heartless and certain in committing those crimes. He didn't show that he had a heart. And yet one night, they went into the prison to minister to the prisoners there. This particular man came to me, tears streaming down his cheeks, crying. He wasn't crying over the crimes he had committed. He wasn't crying over the victims he had murdered. He was crying because his daughter, his granddaughter, Stephanie, lay in the Royal Victoria Hospital at the point of death. And he came to me and said, "Would you pray for her?" I told him I would do more than pray for her. I'll go and see her. I went to see that child in the hospital. And over that weekend, I learned on the Tuesday, this man wanted to see me, but he had been moved to another prison. He'd been moved to the Crumlin Road prison in Belfast. And I went to see him there. And I've said before, I could not believe the change in that man's countenance. Because over that weekend, he had got saved. And he became a bright, shining light for the Lord. He had a heart after all. He had repented of his sin, and there was power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse him from all of his sins, and to cleanse him from the sins of those 13 murders. He had blood on his hands. But then the blood was applied to his soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ washed them from all his sins. He had repented of what he had done. But I look at the life of Ahab and I do not find anywhere where Ahab repented. Where was his heart? Did he have a heart at all? Did he have a conscience? When he received the news about Naboth's death, we're told, as we read there, Ahab rose up and went to that vineyard and entered the vineyard. What to do? To take possession of it. Why, the blood had hardly turned cold in the veins of Naboth. And Ahab was on his way to take possession of the dead man's vineyard. I notice also it was a hidden crime. That is, the planning of it took place behind closed doors. You read there in verses 7 and 8, and Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, unto Ahab, dost thou not now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name. What a wicked woman this was. She wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. Put the king's seal on the wax that sealed the letter. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And they took Naboth and they brought him out and they charged him with blasphemy. It was a false charge. This was a godly man. He wouldn't have blasphemed. But the whole thing was hatched behind closed doors. Jezebel was out to deceive the people. And the many heinous crimes had been planned and executed behind closed doors and under the cover of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light, the Lord said. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Ahab and his wife carried out this awful crime, thinking that no one would discover what they had done. But Ahab should have known. Ahab should have known. Ahab, be sure your sins will find you out. Jezebel should have known. Jezebel, be sure your sins will find you out. Many today, and they planned and plotted to do evil. And the plans and the plots have been hatched behind closed doors. And the crimes have been carried out under the cover of darkness. Because their deeds are evil. Evil. You think of Achan. Achan stole the Babylonian garment and hid it in his tent. Thought nobody would know. Thought nobody would see. But his sin was discovered. Achan, your sin has found you out. And Moses. Moses went out one day, saw an Egyptian assaulting an Israelite. And he looked this way and that, and he went up to the Egyptian and he slew him and hid him in the sand. I thought nobody saw. But but I'm afraid somebody did see. Moses, your sin found you out. David secretly put a man in the heart of the battle. He planned the man's death that he might take the man's wife. He thought nobody would know until Nathan came to him one day and said to David, "Thou art the man." His sin had found him out. And here is Ahab. And this plan went on behind closed doors, as it were. There's Jezebel, and she was out to deceive everyone in order that Naboth might be stoned for blasphemy. Something he hadn't done. But his sin found him out. Payday someday. Payday someday. You have the character of his crime. You have the certainty about his crime. We've just spoken about Ahab's secret and hidden crime. But while it may have been hidden from the eyes of men, the eyes of the Lord saw it all. Notice then, first of all, the observance of the crime. Elijah did not receive any communication from the Lord. Chapter 21, verse 1, right through to verse 17. No mention of the Lord communicating with Elijah. It was only after the slaying of Naboth that we read the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The Tishbite, "Arise, go down, and to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, which he has gone down to possess it." And what was he to say to Ahab? "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and taken possession? Hast thou killed and taken possession?" You see, the Lord saw everything. It was after Naboth had been killed. It wasn't until the crime had been committed that the Lord then spoke to Elijah, told him to go to Ahab. And he went to Ahab and told him everything. Told him what he had done. Because the Lord had seen it all. He didn't think about the Lord. He didn't think about God seeing all things. Oh, he may have hidden it from the eyes of men, but he hadn't hidden it from the eyes of Jehovah. That was impossible. And those sins committed under the cover of darkness are seen and known by God. David said in Psalm 69 verse 5, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. And again, Psalm 139, verse 11 and 12. "Surely the darkness shall cover me." That's what man might say. Oh, surely the darkness will cover me. Nobody will know what I'm doing, because the darkness will cover me. So David said, surely the darkness will cover me. Then he goes on to say, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. Whatever I do in the darkness, it doesn't hide. The darkness doesn't hide my sins or my deeds or my wickedness from thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. Ahab might as well have carried out his evil deed in broad daylight, because the Lord saw it all. Didn't matter if it was planned and executed in darkness or in the day. Didn't matter. God saw it all. God observed everything. You see, the one with whom he had to do, the one with whom we all have to do, the one whom we will all meet one day, sees everything. And we'll have to answer for what we have done and for what God has seen and observed. So we can be sure our sin will find us out one day. And it will be payday. Someday. Notice also the offense. The offense, the observance. God observed it all. A holy and just God saw it all. And then you have the offense. What was Ahab being accused of? Well, verse 17, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and taken possession. There's the offense. There's the charge. Hast thou killed? Word killed is the same word we have in the sixth commandment. You know what the sixth commandment is? Thou shalt not kill. The word kill means murder. Thou shalt not commit or do murder. And that was the offense. That is what God was charging Ahab with, murder. Ahab, you're a murderer. Oh, Ahab could have argued, well, I didn't stone him. I had nothing to do with it. Oh, Ahab, yes. Yes, you had. Ahab was as guilty as Jezebel. Ahab was as guilty as those who took up stones and stoned poor Naboth to death. He might as well have been standing there with the stones in his hands. He was guilty of murder. He had the blood of Naboth on his hands. One, because he promoted the crime. He promoted that Ahab was guilty because he encouraged the deed. He encouraged the killing and the murder of Naboth. Two, he was guilty because he didn't prohibit the crime. Remember, he's king of Israel. He could have stood in the way and said, no, you can't kill this man. He had the power to do that, but he didn't. He promoted the crime. He didn't prohibit the crime. Thirdly, he profited from the crime. Ahab was guilty because he profited from the crime that had been committed. He took possession of the vineyard. And fourthly, he did not punish anyone for the crime. He was guilty. Ahab was guilty because as the head of the nation, he did not deal with those who carried out the crime. I tell you, Ahab might as well have had the stones in his hand. Ahab might as well have been the man who threw the final stone that took the life of Naboth. He's a guilty man. And many today, all who may not have committed such evil deeds, but they've had their part in it. They've encouraged it. Again, read another story just last week of something similar. A crowd of young people were at a party. Young man made a pass at a girl who was the girlfriend of somebody else. And a bunch of young fellas took into him. And they recorded it all on their cell phone. And they didn't finish until they killed him. And there were those there who were egging them on, encouraging it. And they were all arrested. And they've all had a trial, and they've all been sentenced. Because they had a part in it. They encouraged it. Just as Ahab encouraged this killing of Naboth. Next we see the outlook. The observance of the crime. The offense, murder. Now the outlook. Paul tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 25 that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin for a season. Well, Ahab's season of pleasure didn't last very long. He had only just entered into the vineyard when Elijah appeared. And said unto Ahab, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. There was Ahab's outlook. That's what he had to look forward to. King of Israel, yet because of his sin and the crime he committed against Naboth, he would die an ignominious death. He would die in battle. And as we will see, he was wounded in the battle when an archer drew a bow at a venture. He wasn't aiming it to anyone in particular. But that arrow went in by the shoulder blades of Ahab. And the blood ran down his chariot. And he later died, and the dogs came and licked the blood, just as God had said. See, God always keeps his word. This is what Ahab had to look forward to. What had he to look forward to? Enjoying the vineyard for a season? I'll tell you what he had to look forward to. The judgment of God. That's what he had. That was his outlook. The judgment of a holy God. For it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. And sinners who, like Ahab, do not repent of their sin, have nothing to look forward to. They may enjoy their sins, the pleasure of sin, for a season, but that's all it is. It's only for a season. And a very short season at that. And all they have to look forward to is God's judgment. And if only they would receive Christ, seek pardon and forgiveness for every sin and crime they committed and every transgression of God's law, then they would have a brighter, better, blessed outlook. Because they would go home to be with the Lord and not join Ahab in outer darkness forever. Finally and briefly, he had the consternation over his crime. Consternation over his crime. We read there in verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, that is the denunciation of his sin and his crime and his idol worship and been sold out to sin. When he heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. He went softly. I remember hearing a sermon preached, and the title of the sermon was, with regard to this verse, "The man who went to hell in carpet slippers, he went softly." He went to hell in carpet slippers. But isn't this interesting? Isn't this strange? After what Ahab had done, here we find him now, rending his clothes and putting on sackcloth upon his flesh and fasting, going about his palace softly. There's his guilt. There's his guilt. But I want you to notice something about that verse. Ahab rent his clothes, put on sackcloth, went about softly. Why? Was it because of his slaying of Naboth? No. It was because of what Elijah had told him about the coming judgment. It's because Ahab or Elijah had told him that he had sold himself out to wickedness and that the dogs would lick the blood of his body when he would die. That's what troubled him. wasn't the murder of Naboth. It was the coming judgment. That's what troubled him. That's why he fell down in sackcloth and ashes. And why he fasted. It's not just like people today, they hear the gospel, they're told about the coming judgment, and they say to themselves, oh, I must do something. I must give up the cigarettes. I must try and live a cleaner life. I'll have to improve my ways. I'll have to try and clean up my language. But you look at those words, and there's not one hint of repentance. You don't read that Ahab repented. He just thought he should do something. Where there's no repentance, there's no salvation. You hear people today, and they may mean well. But something happens to a loved one. Maybe a loved one's life has been taken by someone who has stabbed them. And they say, well, I forgive that person. Forgiveness is based on repentance. If there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness. And unless that murderer repents of his evil deed, there cannot be forgiveness. And God is the one who forgives. And only when God forgives, may we forgive. You look at Rahab, and there was no repentance. There you have his guilt, and you have the grief. He reminds me of Felix. Remember when Paul came to Felix and spoke to him about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come? We then read that Felix trembled, answered, said, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix trembled. And he told Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. You know something? That convenient season never came. And it never came for Ahab either. You want me to read 1 Kings 22, verses 34 to 38. Now you read about the death of Ahab. He never repented, never. He had left it too late. Sadly, many leave it too late. But then look at the grace. This is the amazing thing. In verse 29 of 1 Kings 21, seest, the Lord spoke again to Elijah, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Because the Lord told Ahab that he would not only slay him, but he would slay his children. Every male member of his family. And yet when Ahab showed that contrition, lay in sackcloth and ashes, the Lord was prepared to be gracious unto him. But Ahab never repented. And that's as far as the grace went. It's a solemn message about old Ahab. But I'm afraid there are many Ahabs today. There are many Ahabs today. Heartless. Committing heinous crimes and wicked sins. And they'll never repent. They'll go to a lost eternity. And they'll meet Ahab there. And Judas there. And Esau there. And Achan there. And the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. Our dear Lord, we commit Thy word to Thee, wherever it will be heard. Lord, speak to souls. Have them to learn from Ahab. Have them, Lord, to seek Thee while Thou art to be found. Call upon Thee when Thou art near. Lord, may sinners not leave it late, too late. Too late, as Ahab did, as Felix did, as Agrippa did. All waiting for a more convenient season. Oh God, answer prayer.